Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with you once again by the gracious will of our great God, the living God, the true and only God, the blessed God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his blessed Father and blessed Spirit. Praise him now and forever. My friends, we're continuing today by the grace of the Lord to look at verses in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll deal more directly today with the topic, the subject of the required obedience of children to their parents in the Lord. We have been looking at verses which connect chapter 5 to chapter 6 in the last two Sundays. Today we'll jump right into chapter 6 and seek to understand and therefore be able to practice the precious truth that God reveals, that he gives to us in these verses. Praise God. It's my hope and trust that the teaching of God, the doctrine of Christ in these verses, will be helpful to you as you seek to lead your children in godliness and as children are to obey their parents in the Lord. This is the right thing. Praise God. And so, my friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, great God, glorious God, mighty God, faithful God, we give you praise and thanks for the word, and we pray once again that you will lead us in the truth and that you will touch our very souls, our very beings, by the truth of God once again in this most important issue of child rearing. And so have your glory in this, Lord. We are open to hear from you. And so, God, help us to practice the truth in accord with godliness as we learn of this. And we ask for your grace and love and blessings for the people who are listening today, your great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I should mention, friends, that I'm James Robinette. I'm a missionary with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And you can find out more about our work at our website. That's www.missionafricajk.net. Praise God. Hear now the word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Praise God. My friends, let me very quickly offer these summary thoughts about last Sunday's teaching. And we talked there about the roles of men and women in marriage. And as a way of summarizing that teaching, men are to be fathers, brothers, and uniquely the husband of one wife. Women are to be mothers and sisters, and uniquely the wife of one husband. Praise God. We thank the Lord for his clear teaching regarding authority and submission. And let us begin this morning by commenting upon the fact that God, the God of all authority, has built an understanding of authority, and he has built an authority structure in his creation, and very specifically, he has built this authority structure into human lives, into the family. Praise God. And again, we remember that authority in this sense is the lawful right to enforce obedience. And submission is a humble obedience to another's will to be in subordination. This is the natural order of the family. The husband is the head of the family, according to the Bible. The wife is under his authority to be in submission to him, and the children are to be in submission to both of them. Praise God. So it is that God commands that children obey their parents in the Lord. This results in the natural working, the harmonious working, the fulfilling working of a family. Once again, this is the natural order for all people, but especially this natural order must be recognized for Christians. Amen. Praise God. And so because this is true, we understand that children are here commanded because they are under the submission of their mother and father. They are commanded in the Lord to obey their parents. And this results in blessing. This results in peace. This results in joy and fulfillment for the children and for the mother and father. Let me begin this morning by sharing the words of a hymn with you based upon Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks for all things unto the Father. This is ascribed to Mary Mapes Dodge. Can a little child like me thank the Father fittingly? Yes, oh yes, be good and true, patient, kind in all you do. Love the Lord and do your part. Learn to say with all your heart, Father, we thank thee. Father, we thank thee. Father in heaven, we thank thee. Amen. For the fruit upon the tree, for the birds that sing of thee, for the earth in beauty dressed, father, mother, and the rest, for thy precious loving care, for thy bounty everywhere, Father, we thank thee. Father, we thank thee. Father in heaven, we thank thee. Amen. For the sunshine warm and bright, for the day and for the night, for the lessons of our youth, honor, gratitude, and truth, for the love that met us here, for the home and for the cheer, Father, we thank thee. Father, we thank thee. Father in heaven, we thank thee. Amen. For our comrades and our plays and our happy holidays, for the joyful work and true that a little child may do, for our lives but just begun, for the great gift of thy Son, Father, we thank thee. Father, we thank thee. Father in heaven, we thank thee. Amen. Praise God. And so that hymn speaks of the blessing that comes to children in the Lord who honor and love their parents, who are indeed obedient to their parents in the Lord. Praise God. And so today we want to take a general look at the meaning of these verses, and then we're going to take a bit of a more specific look at the meaning of these verses. In future sermons, we want to talk about child rearing very specifically and more detail. And so we see similar verses, similar encouragements and admonitions in the Bible, praise God, in Romans 1:30. Romans 1:30. Let me turn there and read these verses. Here we see in Romans 1:30 that the sin of the reprobate is here described as there being backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. And so this is a description of the sins that the unbelieving, the reprobate, commit. Notice there that they are disobedient to their parents. We have a tendency to consider disobedience to one's parents as a rather minor kind of a thing, perhaps not even a sin at all. But you see here clearly, as we're seeing in Ephesians 6:1 and also in Romans 1 and verse 30, disobedience to parents is a very grave sin. It is a very great sin. And then we also see in Colossians 3:20 this encouragement. Praise God. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And also verse 21, fathers, Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Again, very similar teaching as we find here in Ephesians chapter 6. It's interesting, too, that verses 18 and 19 speak of the wife's submission to her husband. It's fitting in the Lord. Verse 19 is God's word to husbands to love their wives and not to be bitter towards them. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, we see that the word of God says this: for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And again, this is a description of the lives of people in the perilous last days. Praise God. And so once again, disobedience to parents is mentioned as a marked sin, an obvious sin of unbelieving and ungodly people. Now, in light of that truth, that obedience to God is required of children in the Lord, let's get the general sense of these verses. That's Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Because of the authority structure, now God gives instruction to children about their role and place in the authority structure in the family. Obviously, here they are to hold themselves in submission to their mother and father and obey their parents. That is, to do that which their parents, who are authorized by the Lord to do so, command them, that which is right and fitting. And notice that this is a clear instruction to the children in a Christian family, but we must note that even by nature, all peoples, whether they are Christians or not, know that it is right that children obey their parents. This is in the very natural order of things. And so we find here also in chapter 6, verse 1, that this is the right thing, declared to be the right thing. Again, in times of confusion like we live in, this can be very misunderstood. In many cultures today, children are not required to obey their parents, and it is considered to be something right that is not required of them. They are many times thought of as young or small adults who need no instruction or guidance, no commandment from their parents. But you see, again, praise God, the Bible is so clear. Children indeed are not small adults. Children are children. And they need the direction and loving care, loving instruction and commandments that their parents can give them and should give them. This is the right thing. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul takes us in verse 2 back to the Old Testament to Deuteronomy 5. And here we see the connection with the New Testament commandment in the first part there in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is indeed a New Testament commandment, a commandment of Christ. And we see that he relates this to the Old Covenant commandment in the Decalogue, that is the Ten Commandments, which commands and requires that children honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Praise God. Deuteronomy 5:16. And so what does this commandment entail, and what is the promise involved in this commandment? Well, simply, the commandment is that children are to hold themselves in submission to their parents. They are to be obedient to their parents. They are to, from their hearts, not rebel against their parents, but receive their parents' admonitions and instructions, their parents' word, and they are to act accordingly from their hearts in obedience and reverence, and so honor their fathers and mothers. You see, the commandment requires that they be not rebellious or unkind or dishonorable towards their father or their mother. And as we look at the Old Testament, we see examples of children or perhaps even youth who were not obedient to their parents and the consequences of their disobedience. For instance, we can think of the sons of Samuel, the judge of ancient Israel, Eli and Hophniss. They were not obedient to God. They were not believers, and they committed great sins. They went against the word of God. They went against their father's word. And sadly, there we find that Samuel, their father, did not correct them. Their sin was evil. Their sin was a great evil. They were priests who were to minister to God, but they corrupted the ministry, and the people despised the ministry generally. They despised giving an offering to the Lord because of the corruption of these men who were stealing the offerings and who committed sexual immorality with women at the very temple. And so their great disobedience, and we might remark that the writing indicates that their age is that they are young men, but their disobedience must be traced back to their childhood. They were not corrected by their father, and they lived in this course of great wickedness, great disobedience to God and to Samuel. And finally, God brought a great judgment upon them, and they died as young men in their profanity and in their sin. It's really a tragic story, but it's an example, and there are others, of disobedience to one's father and one's mother, and of the fact that they did not live long. Now, verse 3 here in Ephesians 6 says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Praise God. Again, this is included with the teaching of God in Deuteronomy 5. This is actually part of the Ten Commandments. Notice that there is a special promise that is affixed to this commandment, honor your father and your mother, and that is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Two conditions, two states of good or blessing will attend the children's honor of their father and their mother. The first is that it would be well with them. When children honor their father and mother, things are well with them. That's what God's word declares. And the second condition is that they may live long on the earth. Praise God. And so you see this promise that's affixed to the commandment, that long life and things being well with a person will attend their obedience to their parents. And we want to make mention at this point the thoughts of Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great preacher who had such wonderful insights in the Word of God regarding this. Lloyd-Jones writes, "We are living in a world which is witnessing an alarming breakdown in the matter of discipline. Lawlessness is rampant." And Martin Lloyd-Jones was writing at a time quite long ago, actually, back in the mid-1900s at this point. But then he noticed the great change that had come about in many ways in society, and that there was a lack of disciplining of children. And this resulted in lawlessness. At some point, mothers and fathers became lax or neglected to discipline or to train their children, and the result was lawlessness in the culture. He writes, lawlessness is rampant. And so in marriage and in home relationships, there is lawlessness, there is disorder when there is disobedience to the word and will of God in this matter, in this situation. When children are not honorable towards their parents and obedient, rebellion takes place, and rebellion is akin to lawlessness. In fact, this is something that we have noticed quite often in families, at times even in Christian families, and that is that there is great unhappiness, there is great disorder in families when the children are not disciplined correctly and lovingly, when disobedience to parents is not corrected. And so we see here, Lloyd-Jones mentions, the connection between godlessness and a lack of morality and decent behavior. And so lawlessness is the breaking of the word of God, the law of God. And so lawlessness results, even in the home, sadly, when the children are not honorable, when they are not kept in godly authority, when there is not an understanding of proper authority and the keeping of good order in the family. Lloyd-Jones mentions that psychology has at times conflicted with the clear teaching of the Bible, and that psychology has helped others to think of children as really small adults, in a way of speaking, as people who are autonomous, who should not be led, should not be directed, should not be commanded. And so this is very wrong. Again, the basic thinking behind these psychological precepts is ungodly. It's not biblical truth. And so this results in a failure and indecencies. The fact remains that psychology cannot reach and change one's heart. And though there may be some limited effects in psychology, my friends, my personal experience, and particularly in family life, is that oftentimes psychological precepts or understandings have a real tendency to undermine biblical truth. There is a tendency for people to hold to the thinking of men in terms of psychology, the teaching of psychology, rather to the truth of God, and this results in failure and in breakdown, even in indecency, because simply put, the teachings of men cannot reach and change the heart. And the result many times is unrighteousness. Now, there's a real tendency too for the teachings of psychology to replace the truth, biblical teaching, so that people are not seen to be sinners, even children, in need of redemption, in need of God's grace, in need of God's saving love and help. And when people hold to this view, they hold to a very distorted view of childhood. And they look for answers, again, to the world, to the thinking of men. And that search is futile, because the mere thinking of men, apart from the truth of God, is futile. The teaching of men lacks the power to change the heart. So I would encourage you, as you are confronted once again with this idea that psychology is to replace truth, especially regarding child-rearing, to know today and to put into practice the truth of the Bible. This will result in God's precious grace. And God, in His grace, can move our children to righteousness, to godly obedience. He moves us, parents, mothers, and fathers, to righteousness in His wonderful grace and to godliness. Therein, we will find good order and peace in our families. So once again, just an admonition to check your heart, check your attitudes, take a good look at what you think about child rearing and if psychology, the thinking of men, has made great inroads in your heart regarding the rearing of children. Let me encourage you to look to God's Word as your sure and certain guide to understand the will of God, that you might therefore obey God's will and therefore enjoy the fruit, the blessing of obedience, especially regarding your children. Praise God. And so Paul here in these verses starts with the children's obedience. And children are to be subservient to their parents, under their parents' authority, obedient to their authority. This will result in honor, respect, and reverence. This is the right thing for them to do. Praise God. And again, this is to be a heart respect and obedience. This is to issue from the heart because of God's grace and blessing, God's presence, God's commandment. Disrespect is not to be characteristic of the Christian family, of Christian children. But respect for their parents will not suddenly flourish like a plant in the desert on its own. Children must be taught to respect their parents. This isn't to be found naturally in their heart to the measure that God requires of us. We must learn the commandments of God, and by God's grace, children are to come to respect their parents. And so respect is to be characteristic of the Christian family. Lloyd-Jones also mentions that modern parenting techniques may deny the nature, the biblical teaching, and this leads people to see children as not under their parents' authority, and that it could be wrong. It would be wrong, in fact, many times for them to be under their authority. Now, again, this is a clear departure from Scripture. This was a problem 100 years ago in the times of David Martin Lloyd-Jones, and it continues to be a problem today. There is a lot of teaching. There are many ideas and philosophies about how to raise children. But my dear friend, these techniques, apart from the truth of the Bible, will lead us astray many times. In fact, I might add most times. Many times this will result in a clear departure from Scripture and a seeking to take the place of Scripture. So just be wary. And again, as you consider how to handle your children, dear Christian parents, look to the Bible. Praise God. Now, we are looking at some general comments about these verses, and now we just want to look a little bit more specifically at some of these things. We see in Deuteronomy there in verse 2, the reference to Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, that God requires this obedience. And when we think about it for a moment, we can see that children who are obedient will hopefully grow to be youth who are obedient, and youth who are obedient will hopefully grow to become adults who are obedient. But rebellious children many times grow to be rebellious youth and therefore rebellious adults. And so the simple, natural understanding of obedience to parents is that this will result in good, that this will result in blessing. And this is just simply true. We can look at the history of many individuals, even of criminals at times, and we see this pattern of disobedience from childhood. But this is sinful. This is wrong. And so early in our children's lives, we must teach them and instill in their hearts the blessing of obedience to their parents, and that this will result in blessing to them even later in their lives. The foundation of society is the family, and when the family crumbles, society crumbles. And the point of this truth is that children are to obey with the great consequence in their life generally that good will follow them, will be with them, because they have learned one of the simple yet fundamental and most needed principles of life, and that is that we must obey those who are in authority over us. When this idea is lost, this truth is lost, then there is a great disorder in society, and that results in disordered lives and confusion and a great deal of pain and turmoil later in life. And so we see the natural effect of learning obedience to authority as the child learns obedience and honor to his parents. Let's just mention today, because our time is just about gone this Lord's Day morning, that in this there is inherent teaching of God's requirement that men, the children of men, honor him, our heavenly Father. Praise God. And so God commands that children honor their parents, that they may learn to honor God our Father. Praise God. Truly then, when a man, a child, a youth, or an adult, even an older person, honors God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is well with that person. And obedience to God therein is seen to carry with it this promised blessing of long life on the earth. Well, my friends, let's pray, and we'll continue next Lord's Day morning to look at this subject. We thank God for his clear word to us, a needed word for us in these days. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought teaching, the truth to us. And I thank you for my parents. Though they were not Christians, they understood that they must teach me and train me and correct me and direct and command me. And I thank you for that simple lesson I learned so many years ago, decades, many decades ago, that it is right that I obey my parents. And Lord, as a Christian, I see even more clearly that it is blessed to obey those in authority over me. In doing so, I am simply obeying you, God. And therein is blessing and honor and good. And so, God, help us to understand these principles. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We give you honor, Father, our Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become your children. We believe in him. We have repented. We are your children, Lord. So help us to enjoy blessing and fulfillment and good order in our families. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.